ஜவகுரு.
நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஸ்ரீமத் பகவத்கீதா சாப்டர் 4, சாப்டர் என்டைட்டில்டு டிரான்சண்டென்டல் நாலேஜ், டெக்ஸ்ட் நம்பர் 29. அபானே ஜுஹ்வதி பிராணம், பிராணே பானம் ததாபரே, பிராணாபானகதி ருத்வா, பிராணாயாம பராயணா, அபரே நியதாஹாரா, பிராணான் பிராணேஷு ஜுஹ்வதி. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: still others who are inclined to the process of breath restraint to remain in trance practice by offering the movement of the outgoing breath into the incoming and the incoming breath into the outgoing, and thus at last remain in trance, stopping all breathing. Others, curtailing the eating process, offer the outgoing breath into itself as a sacrifice. Purport: this system of yoga for controlling the breathing process is called pranayam, and in the beginning it is practiced in the Hatha yoga system through different sitting postures. All of these processes are recommended for controlling the senses and for advancement in spiritual realization. This practice involves controlling the airs within the body so as to reverse the directions of their passage. The apana air goes downward and the prana air goes up. The pranayama yogi practices breathing the opposite way until the currents are neutralized into puraka, equilibrium. Offering the exhaled breath into the inhaled breath is called rechaka. When both air currents are completely stopped, one is said to be in kumbhaka yoga. By practice of kumbhaka yoga, one can increase the duration of life for perfection in spiritual realization. The intelligent yogi is interested in attaining perfection in one life, without waiting for the next. For by practicing kumbhaka yoga, the yogis increase the duration of life by many, many years. A Krishna conscious person, however, being always situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, automatically becomes the controller of the senses. His senses, being always engaged in the service of Krishna, have no chance of becoming otherwise engaged. So at the end of life, he is naturally transferred to the transcendental plane of Lord Krishna. Consequently, he makes no attempt to increase his longevity. He is at once raised to the platform of liberation as stated in Bhagavad Gita 14 chapter 26th verse. Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord transcends the modes of material nature and is immediately elevated to the spiritual platform. A Krishna conscious person begins from the transcendental stage and he is constantly in that consciousness. Therefore, there is no falling down, and ultimately he enters into the abode of the Lord without delay. The practice of reduced eating is automatically done when one eats only Krishna Prasadam, or food which is offered first to the Lord. Reducing the eating process is very helpful in the matter of sense control. And without sense control, there is no possibility of getting out of the material entanglement. So we welcome all the guests for the evening Bhagavad Gita class. So today, we are discussing from the fourth chapter, which is entitled Transcendental Knowledge, verse number 29, in which Krishna is talking about this system of Ashtanga Yoga. So as you may know that in the last few verses, Krishna has been talking about different sacrifices. Like for example, in the 25th verse, Krishna talked about sacrifice to demigods and to the impersonal Brahman. And the 26th verse, he talked about sacrifice according to one's own position in Varnashram Dharma. In this way, Krishna has been talking about different sacrifices. So, sacrifice is actually, in the Vedic culture, everyone is actually supposed to perform certain sacrifices. It is actually inevitable. Because, just like the concept of sacrifices is like, even in our ordinary day-to-day life, like we are enjoying electricity, water supply, etc. If you do not pay, say, water tax or water bill and the electricity bill, after some time, the water supply and electricity supply will be stopped. Because you may ask the question that, okay, why do we need to pay? I am getting electricity, why should I pay to the government? But then, because they are actually, government is supplying it, you are supposed to pay for it, because you are not the proprietor of that. So in the Isopanishad it is mentioned that everything animate and inanimate within the world is actually controlled and owned by the Supreme Lord. There are only two things within the world. Animate means living entities, living beings. And inanimate objects means matter. So there are only two things in the world, matter and spirit. And both are owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord. So different people in this world, somebody may be owner of something. For example, like somebody may own a particular house. Like in Bombay, somebody owns a house, but then he gives that house in rent to somebody else. But then the person occupies the house and then he never leaves the house. After 10 years, 15 years, he claims the house to be his own. So, although a person may be owner of a particular property, he may not be controlling the property. Because somebody else may be residing and then he may claim the house to be his own. Or somebody else may not be owner of a particular thing, but he may be controlling certain things. For example, like there are different superpowers in the world, like America or different other superpowers. They are controlling other countries by their power, although they do not own other countries. But in the case of this world, the Supreme Lord is both the owner and the controller. And he is not a controller like an ordinary person. Like suppose somebody buys a dog. So in the Western world, like somebody buys a dog, like there is a rule that he is supposed to take the dog on a stroll every day for certain period of time, maybe 1 hour or like that. So when the dog passes stool, there is a rule that if the stool is lying in the road, the owner of the dog will be fined. So the owner is actually supposed to, he will carry the stool along with him and he has to put it in the dustbin. So owner may buy the dog and he may claim ownership of the dog. But who is controlling whom? Actually dog is controlling the owner. The object of his ownership is actually controlling the owner. But in the case of the Supreme Lord, He is warning the entire material world, which is composed of this matter and spirit. And he is not like the owner of this material world, like who is controlled by the object of his ownership. So because everything belongs to the Supreme Lord, so when we, if something belongs to somebody else, then if we are actually utilizing the property of that some other person, then any gentleman will have to actually pay some tax for the other person. Only like a person who is completely desensitized, he will not be grateful, he will not pay anything in return. So sacrifices actually, it is important. Without performing sacrifice, without giving in return for what we are receiving, we will not get the things further continuously. So one has to perform different sacrifices. So that is why Krishna is talking about different sacrifices. So in this verse, and sacrifice means like you voluntarily accept certain austerity. You voluntarily accept certain inconvenience in order that you can get some higher pleasure, like a permanent convenience. Accepting temporary inconvenience for permanent convenience or longer convenience. That is what like austerity or sacrifice. So even if a person does not practice spirituality, he has to perform sacrifice. If a person is going in the Bombay local trains, it's like it is not a very blissful experience. Like he is, especially in the summer time, like he is being like crushed by the so many other hundreds of passengers. So he has to perform sacrifice. And nowadays, like because the recession period is going on, people have to like work really hard in order to like maintain their jobs. So everyone is performing sacrifice. Even if a person does not take the spirituality, sacrifice is inevitable. But when a person performs sacrifice for the Supreme Lord, then he gets much more in return. It is said in one of the scriptures, when a person gives charity to an unqualified person, then he will get at least that much amount in return for the charity he performs. But when a person performs charity to a half-qualified brahmana, then he will get at least double the amount in return. And when a person gives in charity to a qualified brahmana or Veda Paranga, one who is learned in the scriptures, he will get hundreds of amount in return. And when a person gives charity to a devotee of the Lord, to a person who knows the conclusions of the scriptures, to a person who is fully devoted to the Supreme Lord, he will get millions of amount in return for the charity he performs. So when a person performs sacrifice for the highest cause, for the Supreme Lord, he will get so much in return. So that's why Krishna is actually talking about the sacrifice. And what is the next verse and all, Krishna will talk about the, what is the result of sacrifice, that is one gets the transcendental knowledge. Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Gopal ji Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. So in this verse, Krishna is talking about this sacrifice called pranayam, which is a part of Ashtanga Yoga. So Ashta means eight. Ashtanga means there are like eight parts. So it starts with Yama, Niyama, like that. So in this Ashtanga Yoga, in the pranayam, so it is little, I'll just explain in simple words. Like what Prabhupada is saying, this pranayam or Ashtanga Yoga is a system of yoga for controlling the breathing process. So there are different kinds of air which are going on within the body. apanavayu, pranavayu, like that, different kinds of airs are there. So this system of yoga is basically meant for controlling the breathing process within the body. And what a person does is, in the beginning, a person practices this yoga by doing different asanas or sitting postures. And what is the purpose of this Ashtanga yoga, which is of utmost importance? The purpose is, it is recommended for controlling the senses. So that is the purpose of Ashtanga yoga, for controlling the senses and for advancement in spiritual realization. So many people, especially nowadays, like, it is a fashion to perform yoga. So, but people perform yoga in order that they can enjoy better sense gratification. But that is not actually the purpose of yoga. Actually, a person will get more happiness by controlling the senses than by enjoying the senses indiscriminately. It's like, it is said, like, desire is a special kind of rope. Everyone has different desires. People want to have many, many desires. But it is said, desire is a special kind of rope, which when a person is bound by this rope, he actually runs everywhere restlessly. But when a person is not bound by this rope, he sits at a place with complete peace. So people think that by actually enjoying the senses, they will get happiness. People think that by having material desires, they will get happiness. But actually, desire is a kind of rope, that when a person is bound by this rope, when a person is bound by something, he cannot move. But when a person is bound by this desire, he moves everywhere restlessly and doesn't get any happiness. But then, when a person is not bound by the rope, then he actually sits, when a person is not bound by this rope, like, logically speaking, like, he should go everywhere. But then, when a person is not bound by desire, he sits at a place with complete peace. He gets complete happiness. So that is an unique nature of material desire. Many of us, we go for exams. So in order to get good marks in the exam, simply by keeping different kinds of pens, blue pen, black pen, green pen, simply by taking 10 different kinds of pen, will you pass in the exam? No. In order to pass in the exam, or in order to get good marks in the exam, what is actually of importance is how you have studied the subject. Simply by having different kinds of pens, you cannot get success in the exam. It's important that how you have studied the subject. So similarly, simply by trying to enjoy the senses, you will not get happiness. But by actually controlling the senses, you will get happiness. So that is the purpose of the system of yoga. It is said, like, people want to enjoy sense gratification, but when can a person enjoy sense gratification peacefully? When a person is completely convinced that he is not going to die and he is going to live forever, then only he can enjoy peacefully. Otherwise, he will always be thinking, like, death is going to come, old age is going to come. So that is the purpose of yoga. So it is said in one of the scriptures, Kamadinam katina katida palita durni deshas tesham jata mayuna karuna natrapa nopa shanti. So every person is trying to serve different people. So Prabhupada writes in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, that the word dharma, nowadays, like, dharma is like a very famous word. People talk about dharma. So what is actually dharma? Dharma means the nature of a living entity, the constitutional position of a living entity. Just like the nature of sugar is to taste sweet, the nature of water, nature of water is liquid. So similarly, the nature of a living entity is to serve somebody or other. One cannot avoid this principle of serving somebody or other. If you see deeply, one may say that I don't want to serve anybody. But then if you see deeply, everyone is serving somebody or other. So you can either choose to serve your own senses or you can choose to serve the Supreme Lord. So but when a person chooses to serve his own senses, what he has to go through? It is said, the senses are a very worst kind of master. It is said, this master actually demands unlimited amount of work. Usually when a person is working in a company, like if he has been told you have to work for 14 hours a day, you have to come on Saturday also, Sunday also you have to come for half a day, then how will you like working in a company? But these senses are such a kind of master that they demand unlimited amount of work. There is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires or the material desires. And one may say, okay, I mean, doing so much of work to the master, maybe I should get something in return. Maybe if I get something in return, okay, even if I have to do so much of work, it's all right. But then, although I have rendered these senses so much service, they have not shown any mercy to me. So these senses are such that they don't show any mercy. That means they make you work 24 hours a day, no retirement at all. At least people expect like some retirement benefit. They want some retirement after 57 years, 60 years, and then they want some retirement benefit for working for so many years in the company. But then these senses are such that when a person serves these senses, then there is no retirement. They have no mercy at all. And I have not been ashamed to serve them. These masters are such that they demand service at any time. Suppose you are going with your boss, suddenly in the middle of the road, he tells you to come polish my shoe. He says you like that, like it will be in the middle of the road, he is demanding, you will be completely ashamed. The senses are also like that. The most awkward position, like senses are demanding different kinds of desires from us. So that is the nature of this kind of master. So this devotee is praying, O my Lord, O head of the Yadu dynasty, recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened and now I am giving them up. Due to transcendental intelligence, I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires and I now come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. So, on the other hand, instead of engaging in the service of the senses, if we choose to serve the Supreme Lord, one actually gets unlimited benefit. One gets so much of happiness. So that is the nature of actually enjoying this sense gratification. Like we have this example of Chitraketu Maharaj. So Chitraketu Maharaj, he was the emperor of the whole planet Earth. So he had everything. He had everything material, but then he was not satisfied within. He was completely miserable. On the other hand, we have the example of Kolavecha Sridhar. He had nothing material, but he had Krishna within himself. So because of that, he actually felt complete satisfaction within himself. In fact, when he actually met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he Lord Chaitanya Prabhu appeared as Lord Krishna, he actually asked Kolevecha Sridhar, "You please ask some benediction from me. I want to give you something." Vajan Kolevecha Sridhar was not willing to ask anything material because he had spiritual happiness, because he had God within himself. So because of that, he was getting complete happiness. So one may say, like who has seen God? Like scientists say, like, how do you know that God exists? Nobody has seen God. Okay, we also tell this, like scientists say, atom is the real thing. Ultimately, everything actually comes from atom. Everything is made up of atom. So we ask the question to scientists, have you seen the atom? They say, no, we have not seen the atom. So they ask us, have you seen God? Okay, we have not seen God. But although we have not seen God, we know everything about God. But scientists, although they have not seen the atom, they actually know nothing about the atom. The theory about the atomic atoms, they keep on changing every few years. They don't know anything about the atom completely for sure. But although we have not seen God at present, because we are practitioners of spiritual life, but still we know everything about God. So that is the nature that when you serve God, we get complete happiness. So another point which is mentioned is that this Ashtanga Yoga is meant for advancement in spiritual realization. So it is basically for advancement in spiritual realization. It is not meant for better material position or better material happiness. Like Krishna, in the second chapter, he gives the definition of yoga. He says, Yogastha Kuru Karmani Sangam Chaktva Dananjaya Siddhya Siddhyo Samobhutva Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. He says, he is actually telling the definition of yoga. There are four points in yoga. First of all, he says, Yogastha Kuru Karmani. That means, Kuru means what? You do something, do work. So work is involved in yoga. So sometimes people think yoga means one has to give up the work. And then one has to give up everything and simply meditate. No, but yoga involves work. And what is the next element of yoga? Yogastha Kuru Karmani Sangam Chaktva. Sangam Chaktva means detachment, giving up the fruits of work. That means there is detachment is involved. So many times people do yoga because they have an attachment to a particular thing. In order to enjoy a particular thing, they do yoga. But then the definition of yoga is completely opposite. And then Krishna is saying, Siddh Asidhyo Samobhutva Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. One should not be attached to victory or defeat or happiness or distress. So that means equanimity is there. So a person can have equanimity only when he has knowledge. So only when a person has knowledge, it is possible to be equal. It is possible to tolerate. So that means knowledge is also involved. So yoga is not simply meditation. One has to cultivate spiritual knowledge. And finally, samatvam yoga uchyate, that is meditation is also involved. Meditation on the Supreme Lord. How? Because a person, like detachment is there, that means he is not attached to any material results. And he is equal. But then how is it possible to be equal and not to be attached to the results? Only when a person has focus on something superior, only when a person meditates on Supreme Lord, then only it is possible to have detachment and equanimity. Only when a person has higher taste, it is possible to be equal to happiness and material happiness and distress. So these four things are involved in yoga. Work, detachment, equanimity and meditation on the Supreme Lord. So this higher taste is actually very important. So like Srila Prabhupada, he went to, he was invited by one, like a very famous musician, John Lennon. So Prabhupada, along with his disciples, like he went to his house. So this musician told Prabhupada that, I want to actually play my latest album to you. I want to, like, show you that latest album I want to play and so that you can hear. So the devotees who went with Prabhupada, they knew that what kind of album, what kind of songs he is producing. In fact, whatever songs he is producing, it's completely about sex and drugs. So devotees were thinking, what will actually Prabhupada think when he hears those songs? So Prabhupada went to John Lennon's house along with his disciples. And then his house was filled with different kinds of pictures which will actually agitate the minds of any person. But then Prabhupada was completely calm. He was not at all agitated. Because he was experiencing higher taste of Krishna consciousness. So when a person experiences higher taste, then it is easily, is possible to overcome the lower taste. So Krishna consciousness is not simply saying no. So when a person takes the spirituality, one experiences higher taste. There are activities in the spiritual world. Like if you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we just see there are two chapters called Krishna's departure from Hastinapur and Krishna's entrance into Dwaraka. So just one full chapter is dedicated for how Lord Krishna departed from Hastinapur. In any newspaper, does anybody write one full page about how Prime Minister left the airport and entered the airplane? No. It's just an ordinary act. But just the simple act of Krishna's departing from Hastinapur is described in one full chapter. That means there are so many activities in the spiritual world. It's not that you will not experience any happiness and gets higher happiness. So when a person experiences higher happiness, it is easy to give up like lower happiness which arises from sense gratification. So, and in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is comparing Krishna consciousness with this Ashtanga Yoga system. So this Ashtanga Yoga system is actually very difficult to perform. If you'll read further in the 6th chapter, it is said that in order to perform the Ashtanga Yoga system, one has to go to a secluded place. So in Kali Yuga, it is not possible to find a secluded place. Even if you go to a forest, like lot of people are there and like practically all forests are destroyed. Even there, people are there and then they are doing different kinds of activities. So it is practically not possible to find a secluded place. So yoga is not that you actually perform in a closed apartment. So devotees also perform yoga, but that is not for getting some, it is just to have a better health so that they can practice spirituality nicely. So, but people perform yoga for other material motives. They think they can perform yoga in the apartments. But then yoga has to be performed in a secluded place. And then in order to perform this yoga, the qualification is you have to see pebbles and gold as equal. How many of us can see? How many of us can see pebbles and gold as equal? No, not at all possible. So unless you have this qualification, you cannot practice this Ashtanga Yoga. So this Ashtanga Yoga, what is the benefit of this Ashtanga Yoga? Prabhupada mentions in the purport that one can increase the duration of life for perfection and spiritual realization. So an intelligent yogi seeks perfection in one life. So Prabhupada is comparing Krishna consciousness with Ashtanga Yoga. So the first point is, so the purpose of Ashtanga Yoga is to control the senses. But in Krishna consciousness, the senses are automatically controlled. Because one engages the senses in the transcendental service of Krishna. So there is no need to put separate effort to control the senses. And the second point which Prabhupada is saying is that at the end of life, a Krishna conscious person is naturally transferred to the spiritual world. So there is no need of separate attempt to increase the duration of life by performing this Ashtanga Yoga. So a person is naturally transferred to the spiritual world. And the third point which Prabhupada is saying is that Krishna consciousness begins in the transcendental stage. In the Ashtanga Yoga system, when a person achieves perfection, then finally achieves the transcendental stage. But Krishna consciousness begins in the transcendental stage. So let us take some examples to compare Krishna consciousness with this process of yoga. So Krishna consciousness is like yogic exercise. Like in exercise, we stretch our muscles and then we breathe also. Like in yogic exercise, we stretch and then breathe. If you do only stretching exercise, then you will be tired. And if you do only breathing exercise, then you will not be able to develop your muscles. So when a person takes this Ashtanga Yoga, he has to say no, no to the senses. There is no superior positive engagement of the senses. So because of that, when a person simply says no to senses, what happens? One becomes tired. Then he falls down from his position. On the other hand, when a person indulges in sense gratification, then he becomes a slave of his senses. He becomes like an animal. He does not get any freedom. Then the same result which we got, like how the senses will treat like without any mercy, he will be like tortured by the senses. And Krishna consciousness is like riding of a horse. Like when a person, an expert rider of a horse, like if he has to, when he is riding on a like a wild horse, if he is simply keeping the reins very tight, then that is not the way to actually ride the horses. If he simply keeps the reins very tight, then after some time the horse will actually, it will jump and then the person who is riding on the horse will fall down. And if he simply keeps if he keeps the reins let loose completely, then horse will go here and there, then he will get a bad destination. He'll be completely he'll be again meet with an accident only. So both things will actually lead to this thing. So an expert horse rider, how does he do? He sometimes lets the reins loose and sometimes he lets the reins very tight. Because that is a way to actually tame the horse. Sometimes when desires are there, he actually engages the senses in sense gratification, in Krishna conscious sense gratification, without breaking any regulative principles, without indulging any sinful activities, being completely aware of the goal of life. On the other hand, a person like who is performing Ashtanga Yoga, because he is saying only no to the senses, it is like keeping the reins of the horse very tight. What will happen? Horse will actually jump and then ultimately he will meet with an accident. And a karmi who is engaged in sense gratification, he is like keeping the reins of the horse completely loose. He will also meet with an accident. But a Krishna conscious person, he sometimes keeps the reins loose, sometimes he keeps it tight. So that is why Krishna consciousness is superior to Ashtanga Yoga process. So Sri Hridayananda Maharaj writes in this purport. So because he knows clear intelligence, Krishna conscious person, he has spiritual intelligence, he knows when to keep the reins tight and when to keep the reins loose. Sometimes devotees also eat, but then it's not that they become, they lose track of sense, lose track of the goal of life. So they may sometimes indulge in senses without breaking the sinful activities, without performing any sinful activities. So in this way, Krishna consciousness is superior to this Ashtanga Yoga process. Another example is like suppose in a journey, two things are important. One is the destination and the comfortable nature of the journey. So suppose you want to go to, you are going on a journey, first thing is like you must know like where you are going. Another thing is like which train, like for example in the summer train, the summer time, suppose you have to go in the unreserved compartment or in the second class compartment and there is so much hot, it's like it will be so uncomfortable. But then if you go in the AC compartment, it's like the journey is comfortable. So there are different kinds of people who are actually focused on only some of the things. For example, karmis means who are only focused on sense gratification. So 99% of the people are engaged in sense gratification. So their main focus is that journey should be comfortable. They don't care about destination. They don't know like what is the destination of human life. They don't know like what is going to happen after death. They are simply concerned about the journey should be comfortable. Right now I should be able to enjoy the senses. But then that is not the right philosophy. Intelligence is to look like real intelligence to see what is the destination of human form of life. Simply by thinking about how journey should be comfortable, that is not the right attitude. On the other hand, there are other people like jnanis and yogis who are simply engaged in philosophical speculation or performing in different yogic postures. They are performing so much of austerities. So they are focused on the destination, but then their journey is not comfortable. They are simply saying no to the senses. Their journey is completely uncomfortable. On the other hand, when a person takes to Krishna consciousness, before that, the destination of a jnani or a yogi, what is their destination? Their destination is impersonal Brahman. So maybe some of you may not be aware of this term. So what is this impersonal Brahman? So, personality of Godhead has three features: Brahma Jyoti, Paramatma, and the Bhagavan feature or the personality of Godhead.